And the gopi said, Radha. But Krishna looked at Narada Muni with his very intelligent eyes. And he said, I'm just going to go there to perform some rituals which are performed when the sun is eclipsed to avoid suspicions. But the Vrishvasis are not interested in Kamakanda rituals. This is not the right place to invite the Vrishvasis. And he turned away because he didn't want Narada Muni to see the tears in his eyes, the tears of loving ecstasy for his most beloved devotees. Narada Muni said, this is too much. Krishna is inviting everyone except those who love him the most. And unknown to Krishna, but very much known to Krishna, he went to the Vrishvasis and he said, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, I want to speak to you. As he approached Vrindavan, he saw a kennel coming from the house of Nanda Baba and going to the Yamuna. Do you know what type of kennel this was? A kennel of tears, Vrishabhadu. They cried so much that from their house, a big kennel, double the size in width of this room, was going to the Jamuna. So much tears. And he came there and said to Nanda Maharaj, you know, Krishna comes nearby to the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Opposite Nanda Maharaj, and we are invited. Krishna has invited everyone except for you. Nanda Maharaj looked at Yashoda. He's our son. When the son makes a celebration, the parents don't have to be invited. They are naturally invited. They are automatically invited. They can come naturally. So when Nanda Maharaj, so innocent and so lovingly, pecked the bullock card, the other, where are you going? You are going to Krishna. Oh, we are also coming, said the covered bodies. The gopis asked, where are you going? We are going to Krishna. We are also going, said the gopis. And so said the birds, and the deers, and the parrots. Parrots are the birds. I don't know, but if the fishes could go, I think they also give it. Maybe they went in the loving, ecstatic tears of the Vrishvasis. I don't know. So, the Vrishvasis came just like Krishna had thought. On the way, Nanda and Yashoda talked. If we go to Kurukshetra, said Yashoda, and for some reason we will be detained to see Krishna, we will die. Yes, said Nanda Baba, we will die. So when they arrived at Kurukshetra, they wanted to see their beloved Lord Krishna. But Krishna was in a big encampment. Do I say it properly? There was a gate in the east, a gate in the south, and a gate in the west, and a gate in the north. So it was heavily guarded because Krishna was now a king. He was in the midst of the huge encampment. There were many soldiers around him, a huge wall, and these guards. So the first one who came to the gate where the cowherd boys, they came with their sticks and they said, Krishna Tanaya Daumi Kavaya. They were so happy to see Lord Krishna. Then they were stopped by the gate. Stop! Where do you want to go? Asked the guard. They looked at him, Krishna Tanaya. To Krishna, our friend. What? Don't be ridiculous, said the guard. Your very poor. Krishna's friends are princes, not simple dust-covered villagers. Go, chalo, chalo. You cannot see Krishna. So the coward voice had to go away. The next one who tried, but the guards informed the other guards of the different gates. The next ones who tried were the gopis. They sang loving Krishna, the songs to Krishna. Krishna Govinda Jai Jai Radha Ramana Girihari Girihari Shyama Vanavari. They came like this. The guy said, stop! All these coward girls looked at each other. Where do you want to go? He wants to go to Shyam Sundar. You go to Shyam Sundar. He's inside. You know him as Krishna. And who are you? Said the gods. You are simple. You sing these village songs. We are his consorts. Consorts? Isn't this a little bold to say? Krishna is together with queens. He has 16,108 queens, and none is a village girl. They are all from royal families. Go, chariot! And they formed, they had some strange people coming all the time wanting to see our Krishna. Then finally Nanda Baba came and Yashoda. At the moment when they approached the western gate, Krishna was in the encampment which had military enforcement all around, and he was just participating in a yajna which is done at the sun eclipse. He was going swaha, and the Brahmana said, now again swaha. There was very loud noise of swaha, swaha. Then Nanda Yashoda came to the camp. Very out, maybe half a kilometer from Krishna, they arrived. They wanted to just go in because they heard Krishna was there in the yajna. All of a sudden they heard, stop! Where do you want to go? To Gopal. Gopal? Who's Gopal? Said Yashoda, I said to you, Nanda, if you can't see him, I will die. Nanda Baba said, you know him as Krishna. And who are you? Don't tell us you are his parents or some uncles or so such things. Yashoda looked to Nanda. She understood the situation. And with one call she called, it was not from the lips, it was from the heart. Gopal! This moment everyone said, swaha! It was really loud. It was so loud, like 1,000 times the Mumbai traffic. Very loud, very loud. But Krishna heard that call, Gopal! Everyone was going swaha, he was getting. Then, again, Mother Yashoda, Gopal! This time Krishna jumped up. His crown fell down to the ground. He ran and ran, and as he was running, he was becoming small, like baby Gopal, very small. His eyes were darting left and right. See her running, zing, 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 and calling out, Maika, Maika. And then ran through the guards and jumped at Mother Yashoda and fell around his neck and cried love, and Yashoda held him and, yes, yes, nothing happened, we are still in Vrindavan, don't worry, don't cry, Gopal. Yes, this was not a call from the lips, it was from the heart. Krishna hears such calls. In our workshop, although it might have been a little mechanical at times, was just trying to make that connection between the heart and the lips, that connection which somehow is covered when we are in the material world by so much dirt, so much problems, so much this and that. And I hope that it has helped you a little bit to begin chanting properly. When you chant like this, Hare Krishna, 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 like this, huh? Then you will enter the nectar of the holy name. But please rest assured, entering the nectar of the holy name does not happen in one workshop. It's a work, and it's a wonderful work and task ahead of you. Please, my suggestion and request to you is, tomorrow we will all chant our amount of rounds. Some of you have 16 rounds, others maybe are 12 rounds, or 8 rounds, or 4 rounds, or 2 rounds. How many do you do, Damoda? 4? 4? Very good. Yes. Then these 4 rounds, or 8 rounds, or 16 rounds, please try to do them like you have tried to do the last exercise. The idea is to just hear, but if you feel you can't hear, then you have to, then these other practices which are in our tradition, to meditate on the letters and to call out are very helpful. So we have come to the end of our workshop, not to the total end. We will make now a pause of 5 minutes exactly. This will be British 5 minutes. I know that some of you have to go home and afraid to maybe not catch the last bus or train or whatever, but those of you who still have a little time after 5 minutes, that's 10 to 10, I will just answer a few questions. I will see who is here at all. Let me ask Vaishnava Seva, maybe it's 9:45, is it maybe a little late and we should not have questions, or we should have questions to answer. So those of you who really have to go, questions, please maybe if we can, because many boys are taking prasadam and are leaving, please. Actually, it's a peaceful atmosphere. Yes. Let us ask now, who of you has some questions? I saw this hand here, Vaishnava Seva. Yes, please.
Then I got
First of all, we need to understand the idea of japa is that we produce this constant presence, a constant flow of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And simultaneously, we have to take care that our mind is with the flow. See, the reason why we sometimes chant too fast and too slow is because our mind is not with us. Therefore, the whole idea of our exercises today was, it was really forming your mind or training your mind to be with the holy name. When you are doing it, the mind can be very fast actually. If it's really concentrated, it goes like, I can give you an experiment. If you think now of Chopati Mandir, it's immediately there, it goes very fast, very fast, much faster than any mechanical journey. The mind can go, it's really, this is a simple task to think of some pizza food. Immediately the pizza, it processes very fast, the mind. So usually I have heard the mantra is, one mantra can be chanted, one round can be chanted between 6 and 7 minutes. Those who are very fast can do it in 5 minutes. But the idea really is the mind must be with it. Then you will be able to do it. To train the mind to be with the holy name, that may take some time. There's really a discipline which you have. I want to tell you very much from my experience. I'm going every year and take 1 month to just cultivate the chanting. And I need this month, it seems. I chant from the morning to late, from the very early morning to 8 o'clock, like this. It's a training. I think not all of us have this luxury opportunity to do this, so during the 16 rounds you have to train it a little. But I can't really, when you are in the process of training, I don't think it's so wise to say so and so minutes you need, so many, because each one of us is different. I would recommend you, if you seriously think about something like a japa reform, then make some rounds that you really work on concentrating your mind, like we have done here. And I think that you would see, most probably this has helped you. If not, you need to come to another japa workshop, which I will do. You can take the practices for some time, and the other rounds you do as good as you can. Yeah. This is my suggestion. Mm-hmm. Yes, Vaishnava Seva Prabhu.
I tend to sleep. So normally I walk a little risk you and guide the time. There is one in the comments on this case.
Well, the first question in regards to breathing, all yoga shastras, and this is also Bhakti Yoga, recommend chanting through the nose, just like maybe modern medicine. It's a known thing. And you, while exhaling, you chant. Now the yoga shastras know that when the exhaling takes longer than the inhaling, I'm just talking now on the physiological platform, that's very good and healthy. Like we know this yoga exercise which puts balance to the body. You breathe in on the count of four, and it's desired to breathe in, to breathe out on the count of eight. It's very good for the whole thing. So there is, we breathe in relatively short while we chant, and we breathe out relatively long because we chant rounds, or we produce the sound Krishna Krishna Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari Krishna Hari Krishna Hari Krishna Hari Krishna 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 like this. This is very good yoga exercise. It makes you very calm in the mind. It is good for concentration. I can breathe in the mind for that. You have the idea. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and so on. This is the best way. Now, I found out, this is only a subjective thing, because I really have not learned much. So if you begin to concentrate on the breathing, then you will get mixed up. You better let it come naturally. Just keep the rule to breathe in through the nose and to breathe out or exhale while you are chanting the Hare Krishna. I go on it. Hare Krishna. So this is usually the rule. Now, your second question was, you found it sometimes difficult to be with to be in the association of devotees, am I correct with that to say? Because they chant and then you hear them. Now this can be have two reasons. One reason is that you are tired and exhausted, really. And I find out many devotees are very tired and exhausted. When you're tired, the mind is not able to really be focused. It's just like a child. When the child is tired, I mean, you can't really impose any discipline on the child. The child, mind goes like, zoom, 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 and you have to just breathe somehow to bed and let it get sleep. So many devotees are sometimes inflicting too much austerity in the case of sleep reduction to their systems, and that will cause an inability to concentrate because the mind just needs that time. This is one reason why you can't hear. The other reason is maybe more serious. I do not know your case, but therefore I only speak generally. It may be that we don't have so much taste. When you have taste in something, you tend to be very concentrated. For instance, in a meal, you just can do it. The traffic can howl left and right like it wants it. You are really hungry. You just sit next to the street and you happily eat your meal. And so there's taste and hunger. And sometimes over the years, we lose that taste and hunger because we have somehow become a little automatic in our practice. And if this has happened, then we must do something to get our taste back. Like, for instance, go on a yatra, or associate with devotees who are serious on a personal level, that we open our hearts. The third question was, you feel you have to walk very fastly, briskly, up and down, because otherwise you tend to fall asleep. The ideal in chanting is to sit, really, because sitting creates a sattvic vibration, whereas walking creates a rajasic vibration in the body. And lying down creates a tamasic vibration before you fall asleep. So sitting is preferred, really. Now, when you fall always asleep while sitting, again, it can have the two reasons. One is that you are overly tired, and that there's only one thing, you need to rest more. And the other is that you don't have a taste, rasasvara, which happens because your mind is not spiritually tuned in so much. If you don't have enough taste, you must, it's good to not ignore it, but to understand, I must do something to gain my taste. And maybe it's, for some it's reading. Reading helps, become more interested in Krishna. Association helps, yatras help, and so on. This is what I can answer at this moment. I do not know you very much, Vaishnava Seva, and also in a public meeting, it's best to not talk too personal, because our personal privacy must be maintained, obviously. You wish at another time when we meet, we can talk, and maybe I can be take a little pulse diagnosis of you and give you more specific advice. But I feel in a public assembly I don't talk this much. Thank you. So there are other questions as well. I will turn to the Madhijis for a moment. Yes, please. Which go here and there, I would answer, don't be angry at them. Oh no, again I'm thinking this thought. Nor entertain the thought. Just let them neutrally pass by. Okay, I just thought of my household duties, maybe of the shopping list which still has to be done or whatever. Don't, in other words, be, try to be neutral with this, and just think, well, my mind is going. The second advice is, when you feel there's something you need to remember, just take a piece of paper, let the paper remember it. You just need to write it down, and the paper will do it free of cost. And you really can put the thought away. If you write down, well, 2 kg of potatoes I have to purchase, and whatever it is. Now, as far as the other question is concerned, that is, devotees who chant so loud and disturbing, sometimes we become disturbed by devotees who don't really chant so loud, but it's devotees who get on our nerves. We have some certain sunrise with them. So, and they are always in our mind, even if they just make a small sound. We may have to clarify something in our relationship with these devotees. But it does happen, as you have said, that just devotees are too loud. And we may then walk to another place of the temple where they are not so loud, where we don't hear them. Or if it's devotees who are uncomplicated, we can maybe tell them in a private setting, oh my dear Maharaji, you are very loud, maybe you can go ahead and leave it down. But only do this with an uncomplicated devotee. If you say it to a complicated devotee, then the problem is increased 1,000 times. But if it's an uncomplicated devotee, you can say it. Yeah. Thank you very much, Maharaji. Yes, other Maharajis are there? Tapasvini? Not at this moment, yeah? Yes, Maharaji?
Hare Krishna. Sometimes when we are very much disturbed, then we cannot concentrate properly on holy name. And that time we think instead of chanting now, I'll chant some other time because I cannot concentrate at all because I am so much disturbed because of some other reason. Something has happened. And so again and again my thought is going there only. So I think it's not good to chant now because I cannot concentrate. So is it right to chant some other time or continue?
Generally not. Generally, we should have our time set aside, which we do for chanting, and we might see that our chanting creates a consciousness which is free from disturbance. Very often it happens. It takes maybe one round, break through, but then it is there. But there are obviously moments in life where it's just so hard and 50 things at once on our small little head and so on, and then we might have to sometimes take care of a problem as it arises, but generally, these are really exceptions, rare exceptions. Generally, we need to learn to take shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, especially at times which go when things seem to go wrong and against us. The great devotees only call out for Krishna, like Draupadi and so on. And if we don't learn to turn to Krishna in every situation of life, then we make our whole spiritual life dependent on external circumstances. So generally we should chant during the time which we have set aside. Yes, I saw some hands here on this side. Yes, please. Maybe, but yes.
Rishavaraj, we should chant in the mind and the lips simultaneously.
I want to, yes, chanting means you address Krishna. When I address you, I think about what I say. My mind is there, you know. If I address you, I don't just speak mindless some words. The mind must be there. When you speak to someone, you have to be there with your mind. Yeah. It's very simple. You're calling out to Krishna. This cannot be done by a machine which has no mind. This is done by a person who, in difference to a machine, has calls out the body, mind, and words. It's in other words, it's interesting that you ask this question, because this question is really not very, it seems to be a necessary question in Kali Yuga to ask, should I engage my mind when I chant? Well, of course, what else? How else can you chant? You are a thinking being who is conscious, so the consciousness must be involved in everything that you do in bhakti. I want to give you an example. Once there was a pandit who gave a lecture on Ramayana, and a good group of people came, like here. And within the group there was one woman who always cried, really cried. Pandit thought, well, my words seem to have some influence here. She's crying. Then one day after 14, you know, she came 2 weeks, he decided to go to this woman and said, you're crying? Apparently you're very much moved by the story which I tell you, by the Ramayana. I'm pleased that someone takes my lecture seriously. It's the false ego of the lecturer. Someone takes my lecture seriously. Very nice. The lady says, yes, Pandji, I'm crying. You know, 2 weeks ago, my goat died, and it had a very attractive bird. Bird? Beard. And you have the same beard. Now when I see you, beard, I'm remembering my very energetic, temperamental, intelligent, and wise goat. And thereby I'm crying. Her mind was not with the Ramayana, but with the beard of her goat. Hare Krishna. There was not much benefit to this poor lady. So when you are in doing things absent-minded, there is not much benefit. You have to purify the mind. Chanting of Hare Krishna means purification, not of the body, of the ear voice, but of the mind, of the heart. And if the heart is somewhere else, and you don't hear, but you just remember the latest Hindi movie in your mind, or something else, or nothing in your mind, that is not the desired bhakti yoga. You see, when Krishna talks about bhakti yoga, he makes it very simple. He talks about bhakti yoga in 4 points. The first point, he says, manmana, think of me. Bhava Matvato. Bhava means come in the mood of my bhakta, be my devotee, that means do service. Bhava. Then he says, worship me and bring your obeisances to me. Even if you bring an obeisance to the Lord, do you know that what is the most important limb of your body? When I throw myself down in an obeisance, I covered the floor with 8 bodily limbs and said, the most important bodily limb with which I cover the floor is the mind. And the mind, you think, when you pay an obeisance, says, I put my head at the lotus feet of Radha Gopinath. Then you pay to Radha Gopinath, or the Jagannath, obviously, to Jagannath. Mind is so important, you cannot mind the speech out. In another japa seminar, I will tell, we can teach other things what to do with the mind, but for now, concentrate the mind on the sound vibration is the most important thing. Mahaprabhuji.
You said that you can lie down sometimes, but then when you start writing, then the japa time will be only
own case against Bangalore will be written. You must be practical. When you see there's so much in your mind, then you have to maybe go out in your garden, shout very loud, "Stop you foolish mind! Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna!" Once a devotee said, "My mind is so active, what can I do?" Then I said, Prabhupada said, "Run on the field and chant at the top of your lungs to drown out the sound of the mind." That may be. But when I said about a piece of paper, it's really not that you should now write your own book during the japa. it's just about these things which can be quickly written down, like the 2 kg of potatoes or whatever.
Okay, and that's how to, there are varieties also. Chanting is one of the most important part. But sometimes, as you said, deity worship, chanting, reading Bhagavatam, these are 5 things. So, now, when we take initiation, we give promise to a Guru Maharaj that we will chant 16 rounds. But, and then, when you want us to come to temple, convince, going, coming, time, chanting, and now even deity worship at home. Now, that also, and then people have to go for work or that channel of duty. So, which is more important now?
Prabhupada once said, of all the instructions given by the spiritual master, to chant 16 rounds without offenses is the most important instruction. It's just, and I will end with this because I see we are getting late, it's 10:35, and some of you will have to go and work. And I don't want to be one of your time-stealing factors. It's really a matter of to put the most important things first in your life. One Sridhar Swami gave a very interesting seminar. He put an aquarium, a prasam on the table and filled it with stones which were as big as fists, and then asked us, is the container full now? It was totally full, and we all fell into his trap. We said, yes. Why? And he just laughed and took small stones and put it in this container and it put a few times and filled another 2 buckets into the container. "Is it full now?" he asked. The intelligent amongst us said no. And then he smiled and put sand in it. "Is it full now?" And we all screamed with one voice without knowing what would come next. "No!" Then he put water. Then he asked us, "What is the point?" And he explained, "The point is, if I would not have put the big stones in first, but first would have put the container full with pebbles or with sand, there would have not been any place left for the big stones. I first needed to put the big stones in, and then I could put everything else in it." This is how you must lead your life, Mahaprabhuji and all others. We must see what is most important and do that nice and good. Give prime time to it. When we do other things nice in our lives but we do not chant nicely, something is wrong with our time management. Sometimes there are exceptions. There's so much to do in Mumbai and you have to maybe chant 1 or 2 rounds or 3 or 4 even in the car when someone drives you. But the rule should be to chant at a good time, to give it prime time. Because let us not forget, chanting the holy names is the easiest way how to meet Lord Krishna. And the first way where we will ever meet him. He will himself in the holy name. I want to thank you very much, and I will not keep you any longer because now we get it's really late. I wish you all the best and want to congratulate all of you who work in this wonderful restaurant. Not a restaurant, hospital. This meant I must go to bed now. This was a mistake of the time. Who work in this wonderful hospital, I want to congratulate you. It's a very, very exemplary service. The whole Vaishnav world speaks about this hospital. And many devotees are very, very grateful to you. But also the many people who come in here and get their contact with Krishna consciousness. And Kali Yuga, the Mahatmas are the entertainers, like the movie stars and the doctors. These two people are getting most respect by the people. So a doctor can bring a lot of Krishna consciousness to you. I want to thank you very, very much. All the best and Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.